Chapter 57. 50 years later. Michael sat cross-legged on the pure white floor. His pupils were slits, permanently narrowed by the glare. Beside him was an empty metal tin and spoon, both licked clean. The igloo-like cell was silent, save for the crinkling and shuffling of paper as he worked. Michael folded with precision, holding the edges, still using his knees and toes to compensate for his missing arm. He cursed as the paper slipped, cutting his finger. He stared at the brilliant, glistening red bead on his bony hand. It dropped to the pristine floor, adding a defiant dash of color to the sterile infinity chamber. The droplet vanished, returning the room to its barren state. The only permanent color in Michael's environment came from his grimy skin and the food stains on his jumpsuit. As he sucked his finger, his lips brushed the band-aids covering his other digits, war wounds from earlier in the week. Red blemishes spread across the white paper as Michael resumed his work, creaking his stiff limbs around with difficulty. A hatch appeared on the floor beside him, swallowing the empty tin and spoon. He stared, transfixed. Collection shafts were the only places where Michael ever saw shadows. He shook himself out of the trance, chastising his frail mind. The tray was fading from view, so he had to finish up fast. Hastily completing the final folds, he tossed the beautiful origami flower into the shadow. Remembering his cut, he leaned over the hatch and squeezed his fingertip, speckling the flower and tray with blood before the floor sealed over. He rocked back on his knees, placing his hand against his opposite shoulder and breathing deeply into his diaphragm. With each exhalation, he uttered the names of his loved ones, starting with those needing his protection, through to those deserving his penance.
Sophia, Olive, Damien, Leon, Taylor, Kelsey, Mom, Pops, Father,
he gasped. Sitting up straight, he tapped both shoulders in alternation 8 times before repeating the whole flow. Rock back, shoulder clasp, breathe in, vent names, grounding taps, again. Michael rocked and chanted on repeat, getting progressively faster until the names blurred into a breathless chatter. As the minutes passed, his head grew lighter until he slumped onto his side, panting. His confidence in the offerings had grown over the years. For one thing, he had never requested the paper. It simply appeared early on in his sentence. He had fashioned it into a flower and returned it, thinking of his family. Since then, the paper had kept coming without fail. Of the thousands of folded flowers he's presented, the ministry had not rejected a single one. Michael's attitude to the ministry had softened over his years in solitude. He had tried fighting the system, and he had lost. The only way to live with true freedom, he realized, was to stop fighting the system and to respect it. The ministry gave him paper because they wanted a dialogue with him, not in words, but in gestures. Giving and receiving, true symbiosis. His paper orchids were offered as tokens of devotion. He submitted to the system in exchange for his family's prosperity. In return, he trusted that the ministry was looking after his loved ones. Of course, he had no proof that this was the case. He hadn't seen another soul, human or mechanical, in decades. Over time, Michael's guilt had been replaced by gratitude. Not a day passed in which he didn't think of Toma. Without that automaton's help, he'd have never discovered the real orchids, or been able to care for Taylor, or indeed briefly heal his grandfather. Yet, when the machine had forced him to sacrifice it, the ministry had double-crossed him. They had accepted Thomas' cerebrium heart, but taken Kelsey's life too. Only now, with all these years of reflection, had Michael come to see Thomas' true intention. Perhaps the automaton had known Kelsey couldn't be saved, or that Michael couldn't progress while remaining dependent on its help. He suspected the automaton knew all along that this was where Michael's path would lead. If so, he owed the machine another debt of gratitude. It had guided him to a place where he and the ministry were one. After struggling to achieve the impossible his whole life, he had finally accomplished it. From the Infinity Chamber, Michael could devote himself entirely to working with the ministry in a deep partnership so that they both may keep his family safe.
Toma, yes,
muttered Michael pensively. If he ever saw the outside world again, rebuilding the beloved machine would be a top priority. With the right tools, maybe he could find a way to bring it back. After all, he'd managed it once before. Wincing and painfully stiff, he rose to his feet. With his hand extended forwards, he shuffled through the infinite whiteness. 4 steps. 5. 6. The invisible domed wall met his fingertips. Never letting go of it, Michael set about his daily laps, shuffling in an endless circle. When he tired of walking, he sat, vegetating, until he'd recovered the strength to continue. An endless circular walk. This was how he passed the day. Not that night and day had any meaning in a chamber of perpetual light. His hip struck something hard and smooth. Michael's eyes focused on the white toilet before him. It was the subtlest shade off its surroundings. Feeling his way down to the seat, he sat and defecated. Locating the sink, he washed his hands, face, and neck and brushed his teeth. He was hoping to shave, but couldn't find the invisible white bathroom cabinet in time. All too soon, the bathroom retracted back into the walls and floor. The shadowless room rotated again. When it settled, Michael's foot was flush against something coarse and squidgy. With difficulty, he lowered himself into the pure white futon, laying sidelong and burying his face in his arm. Michael awoke to the chamber rotating. The panoramic light made sleep a mammoth achievement in itself, and the ministry was careful to never let him have much of it. Bleary-eyed and poorly rested, Michael clambered to his feet, knowing from bitter experience not to linger on retreating furniture. He performed a lap of the perimeter, searching for the bathroom. His foot stumbled across that day's answer, a near-invisible white bucket filled with water. Shedding his baggy jumpsuit, he washed himself, relishing the sensation of the wet sponge against his wrinkled skin. They must have been particularly pleased with yesterday's orchid to be giving him warm water today. As a buzzer sounded, the bucket rotated away. Michael tossed the sponge after it, then grabbed the towel and dried himself off before throwing on a clean new jumpsuit. Michael commenced his pacing of the room, shuffling around the exterior with his hand against the smooth wall.
Kelsey, Mom, Granddad, he muttered. Father, Sophia, Olive.
He paused to catch breath.
Damien, Leon, Taylor,
he murmured, shuffling onwards. A scent interrupted his travels. Michael scarpered into the center of the cell, hungrily shoveling the tin of hot stew into his mouth. He deliberately spilled dribbles of gravy over his immaculate jumpsuit. Every day, Michael reveled in acts of culinary graffiti, knowing they would endure until his next outfit was supplied. With the food devoured, he turned his attention to the blank sheet of paper that came with the meal tray. Completing the flour in better time than yesterday, he tossed it into the vanishing hatch.
It's for my son, you understand?
He squawked. His voice was grainy and peculiar, underused for so long. Rising to his feet with a satisfied sigh, Michael prepared to resume his circular pilgrimage. But before he could begin, a doorway appeared in the domed wall ahead. Michael's jaw dropped as it slid open, revealing a shadow-filled corridor beyond. He shuffled closer, peering into the expanse. His eyesight was poor, ill-adjusted to anything that wasn't gleaming white. In the doorway stood a figure Michael didn't recognize. A warden? The young man beckoned Michael through into the corridor.
This way, sir.
What's happening?
Said Michael.
Your sentence is complete. You're being released.